each voice, all words, all life, all space, this breath we now here breathe, appear inside our thoughts, the place where they all interweave. Let's now see thoughts themselves, explore our thoughtfulness within. Let's breathe as easy as before, and easily begin. We all know well the snap of joy of figuring things out, when understanding we deploy resolves some puzzling doubt. Let's turn our thoughts on thought itself, on wonders worked therein, that built the skills, that built the wealth we're meditating in. Our eyes are closed, but still we know the shape of where we are. The sky above, the earth below, the planet and its star. But there is much at work between the world that we conceive and things directly heard and seen as ears and eyes perceive. Together with our nose and skin, they constantly report to clever structures further in that notice, learn, and sort. We notice far from everything, since most that's going on around us needs no noticing, and nothing to be done. The world looms large, but we are small, and must prioritize, among the vastness of it all, what's crucial, and surprise. Too many details make a mess of too much stuff to sort. To oversee things, we compress sensations into thought. Like here, this floor in front of us has bits it's been made of that do not matter, knowing just the floor is good enough. Before we even recognize these very words we hear, our brains already itemize the sounds so they're more clear. Words recognized relate into the present circumstance that's thought as well, our overview of our experience. From ears that hear just moving air and eyes that see just light, we learn that something's really there, a world in place outside. All sights and sounds articulate surroundings that enwrap us here for us to navigate, a territory to map. Our memories hold maps of where we've been, in homes and schools, and wider maps we studied there that came with names and rules. Such maps keep track of paths we know through territory thereof, compose the many facts below in one view from above. And they include abstractions not found in the territory, including value things I've got, and names and property. For we can map ideas too, relate them so they turn into a worldview whereinto we fit what else we learn. Our maps are not the territory, they're quite a different game, but still they help to the degree they're structured much the same. They're always wrong, they're always just a chancy summary, but we decide how much to trust and use them flexibly. We gauge the probability a thought's reliable, a guess, a claim, a certainty, or not applicable? Thoughts make predictions we can test. In new terrain, they must predict what we will see there, lest they rightly lose our trust. That's most important when maps come with an included sense of things to do that will have some predicted consequence. Like, if we jumped from somewhere high, our maps say we would die. And that's a truth worth living by, we do not need to try. Of course, that's wonderfully good. It means we're not destroyed by things we can predict we should prefer to just avoid. Good maps of consequence confer the strange ability to seek out futures we prefer from possibility. For that, we've used maps inside us, describing outside truth, before these human forms as just small monkeys or as shrews. We shrewdly mapped where there was food, where might be predators, who were our friends or in the mood, who were competitors. Since then we've played with fire and grown big and playful brains with thoughts no beast can understand. That's how our species reigns. To know what's true is far from all. We are creative too. That's great, although some dangers call when handling thoughts untrue. Our brains are eager to propose new links that might belong between thoughts. Some are right, some close, but most of them are wrong. As good maps guide our way ahead, bad maps lead us astray. We need to learn which maps are bad to better find our way. So we seek incongruity and laugh when we can find thoughts wrong or contradictory. Like most thoughts on the mind. Our thoughts are quick and more complex than maps they can contain. They hardly can keep track of tracks they take across a brain. So when we know ourselves, we don't know each thought separately, but just a summary that won't exceed capacity. So we are prone to simplify all thoughts into a kind of monolithic thing that we proceed to call the mind. Like voices in a choir choose to melt into one voice, our many thoughts seem to produce one mind that makes its choice. Up close, the minds we're looking at are not big, solid things, but rather lots of small things that are busy happening. So most we now can tell apart, we've only learned about, since scholars of the mind worked hard to map the details out. To work on their self-inquiries, they learned to meditate, created methodologies to self-investigate. Thoughts are transparent, focusing on content they think of, but we can practice noticing their courses well enough. Some mindful meditations take thoughts from the tasks they know to states that make transparence break and let their innards show. Some poisons change thoughts, so they stir against transparence. This has let us study thoughts that were in metamorphosis. Another subject that can give us insight is the brain. We've studied brains, beginning with those injured or insane. Brain imaging technology has made us able to, still crudely, but increasingly, observe the work brains do. We've seen small streaks of lightning climb through brains, embody all our thoughts on paths through space and time. They're four-dimensional. Like humans, thoughts on paths that meet will sometimes get aligned, becoming something more complete and grow through time entwined. Thoughts meeting, if the territory they're mapping overlaps, obtain an opportunity to share and merge their maps. When thoughts connect, their unity is seen when neurons they are running on find synchrony and pulse a rhythmic way. Thus we map out how thoughts map out and learn and represent the territory we learn about from light and sound and scent. In science, as in every brain, what thoughts and scholars do are similar attempts to gain some map of what is true. This mapping of the world goes on in every so-called mind. How human sciences are done is merely more refined. how science is considering the weight of evidence is near exactly mirroring how thoughts are making sense. Through this, we cumulatively have come to see up close some secrets of reality no other species knows. No other species talks like us and learns collectively, collects improvements that adjust maps to the territory. Like grammar, thoughts recursively encode small simple things in higher order structures we use for remembering. We even map out consequence, cause and causality in language, so our species tends to think grammatically. Our clumsy, word-like thoughts assure mistakes their use incurs. Our grammared thoughts caricature the wordless universe. Nobody acts as separately as we tend to believe, as subjects thought grammatically. That's just how we conceive. But knowledge that's approximate still helps, so we make do with thoughts we hope or estimate approximately true. We used to think that storms proclaimed some wrathful heaven's king. We know now that's an instinct named anthropomorphizing. Perhaps such humanizing used to help to some degree. Those two were thoughts, just more confused than those thought presently. We err in what we think and see. Our biases are strong. But learning from the territory, we can become less wrong. Like thoughts begin to resonate when neurons get in sync, we learn when we communicate. Shared reason helps us link. True maps describe one territory and can become agreed upon the same reality. The truth is where we meet. Through sharing thoughts, a kind of mind can use more brains to plan and execute as well aligned as only humans can. All truthful insight humans share comprises something vast, one map all humans everywhere create to grow and last. We fail and halt and stumble on new paths confusion brings. We're first to map new paths we've gone. We're first at many things. Through teamwork, incrementally, this common map we've grown, gained secrets of reality that waited to be known. Sure, still it's wrong, but less and less. We'll see more clearly still as we improve its truthfulness as fully as we will. We yearn for knowledge, hope we're wise, crave taking right from wrong, take part in one great enterprise to which we all belong. A single, overarching map that all of us improve may threaten to become a trap, mistaken for the truth. But past all maps we comprehend, we know reality to inexhaustibly extend towards infinity. The more such territory we know, the more we're filled with awe at everything that's let us grow to see its beauty more. So much was needed to allow our chests to rise and fall and fuel our thoughts with which we now appreciate it all. For we owe every thought we think to stardust playing games of life and love and words to link us up to greater aims. From feeling the sheer magnitude of all that made us real arises awestruck gratitude we've just begun to feel. The gift of life our world shall spread gives one response to this. We'll also map our paths ahead. We will stay curious. we'll see our cosmos differently. But every knowing self remains away the territory. The cosmos knows itself.